Senator, please come, daughter. Will the members please note their presence by voting? Secretary, please take the roll.
The roll shows 19 senators present this morning.
Will the Senate please rise for prayer? Father John Larson of the Episcopal Church of the Holy Trinity.
Let us pray. Almighty God, you who are the source of all life, as the members of this body wrestle with the issues and needs of our state, give them, we pray, the wisdom to know what is best for all of our people. Give them also the strength and the courage to live out that wisdom. Amen.
Will the Secretary please certify as to the correctness of the Daily Journal?
I wish to certify as to the correctness of the journal for the 71st Legislative Day and Senate Supplement number 21.
Senator Coletta.
President, I move and ask unanimous consent of the journal for the 71st Legislative Day and Senate Supplement 21 be approved and certified.
Hearing no objection, the journal is certified. This brings us to the introduction of guests. Does any member have a guest to introduce? Senator Ferguson.
The President, gives me a great deal of pleasure to introduce a constituent and friend from Nome, Andy Edge.
Senator Ray?
Mr. President, I have a group here from Floyd Dryden Junior High School. When I call your names, would you please stand up? And if I get close to it, you'll know who I'm talking about. Katie Adelmeyer, Denise Arsenault, Vern Ash, Rolf Gunderson, Jason Hanley, Mike Hinman, Chrissy Jokerst, Sean Kinney, Liza Mitten, George Paradise, Carla Scott, Eddie Seslin, Jim Spaltman, Rick Wolfenberger, Ross Ogden, and their teacher, Bill Nash.
Senator Coletta. Senator Caratula.
I'm not certain. I just came in late. Apologies. Mr. President, it gives me great pleasure to introduce the chairman of the State Democratic Party, Mr. Andy Edge, who's probably already been introduced.
I knew him as a Nome rug merchant.
I knew him as a Fairbanks Republican.
I never admitted to knowing him.
Messages from the governor?
I knew him as a raggy.
We have no messages from the governor this morning.
Messages from the other house?
We have no messages from the other house.
Do we have any communications?
We do not.
Reports of standing committees?
The State Affairs Committee considered Senate Concurrent Resolution Number 49, Preparation and Distribution by the Division of Budget and Management, Office of the Governor, of a Personnel Procedures Manual, and recommends due pass. Signed, Senator Mulcahy, Chairman, concurring, Senators Rohde, Ziegler, Kelly, and Bradley. SCR 49 has a further referral to Finance. The Health, Education, and Social Services Committee considered Senate Bill Number 261 relating to physical therapists and recommends that it be replaced with the committee substitute and do pass. Signed, Senator Hackney, Chairman, concurring, Senators Sturgiluski, Coletta, Behrenkamp, and Ferguson. SB 261 has a further referral to Labor and Management. The Labor and Management Committee considered House Joint Resolution Number 59, Payment of Extended Unemployment Benefits, and a majority of the committee reports it back without recommendation. Senator Ferguson, Chairman, signed due pass. Signing no recommendation were Senators Dankworth, Ray, Bradley, and Coletta. HJR 59 has no further referral.
Rules.
The State Affairs Committee considered committee substitute for House Joint Resolution Number 65, amended, expressing gratitude to the Canadian government and the Canadian citizens involved in the rescue of six Americans from Iran, and recommends do pass. Signed, Senator Mulcahy, Chairman, concurring, Senators Rohde, Ziegler, Kelly, and Bradley. 65 has no further referral.
Rules.
The Labor and Management Committee considered committee substitute for House Bill Number 670, Finance, making appropriations to the Department of Labor, Workmen's Compensation Division, and reports it back without recommendation. Signed, Senator Ferguson, Chairman, concurring, Senators Dankworth, Ray, Bradley, and Coletta. House Bill 670 has a further referral to Finance. Those are the standing committee reports this morning.
Are there any special committee reports?
We have no special committee reports.
Introduction of resolutions.
Senate Concurrent Resolution Number 58 by the Rules Committee by request of the Legislative Budget and Audit Committee relating to the University of Alaska lawsuit against the state.
Judiciary.
That is the only resolution today.
Mr. President.
Senator Ray.
May we revert to introductions, please?
Hear no objection. The Senate reverts to introduction of guests.
Mr. President and the other members, I am very proud today to introduce to you six young handicapped adults from the Juneau School District. Joel Reyes, Cindy Aligny, Mike Godkin, Johnny Bona, Ed Parrish, Jim Merkelief, and their teacher, Judy Norman, and the teacher's aide, Marcia Gilley.
This brings us down to consideration of our daily calendar. We don't have any bills here.
We don't have any bills. Senate Bill Number 42 by Senator Bradley, an act repealing the restriction of grounds upon which a mobile home park operator may evict a mobile home park dweller. The Commerce Committee considered this bill and reports it back as follows. Senator Bradley, Chairman, and Senator Kelly signed do pass. Senator Stimson signed do not pass. Senator Strzelczyk signed do not pass unless amended. The Judiciary Committee considered this bill, and a majority of the committee recommend do pass. Signed, Senator Ziegler, Chairman, concurring, Senator Meehan and Senator Dankworth. Senator Ray signed do not pass. Senator Bennett signed no recommendation. This was returned to the Finance Committee and the returned to the Commerce Committee. The second Commerce Committee report of February 26, 1980 recommends replacement with a committee substitute with a new title and a majority do pass. Signed, Senator Bradley, Chairman, concurring, Senator Strzelczyk and Senator Kelly. Senator Stimson and Ferguson signed no recommendation. There is a committee substitute.
Senator Bradley.
Mr. President, I move the adoption of the committee substitute.
Are there any objections? Hearing none, the committee substitute is adopted in lieu of the original bill.
Committee substitute for Senate Bill Number 42 by the Commerce Committee, an act relating to the termination of rental agreements of mobile home park dwellers and tenants.
Senator Coletta.
Mr. President, I move that action items consent to rule to be suspended. The committee substitute
for Senate
Bill
42
will be
closed
to
that
third reading by the final
passage.
I
object,
Mr. President. May we
stand at ease
for a moment?
Objection is noted. Senate, please come back to order. Are there any amendments?
There is an amendment, number one, by Senator Rohde, to page one, line 10. Delete the word the before the word provision and insert reasonable.
Mr. President, I move amendment number one.
Amendment number one has been moved. Are there?
Mr. President, the change in the statute has deleted, among other things, the word reasonable and inserted other language in addition to that. But it's particularly troublesome to me that the Senate would actually go on record in supporting unreasonable regulations. Hopefully, the job of this legislature is to promote reasonable legislation that is in the best interest of all the people. And I think by deleting specifically the word reasonable, that we have, in fact, given our blessing to any sort of unreasonable regulations that someone might make, and I personally find that objectionable. The comment has been made that, well, this is taken care of in the letter of intent, but a letter of intent really has no binding legal force on the courts or anyone else. And I would hope that my colleagues would support the amendment to insert the word reasonable back in the statute.
Senator Bradley, you wish the floor?
I object in that the whole purpose of this committee substitute is to delete that word reasonable, because attorneys can make $1 million playing around with the word reasonable, and that's actually been the experience. And if the court owner and the tenant sign a rental agreement with the rules and regulations included therein, which the representative of the court owners and the court owners who testified assured us that this will be the case, where here in the past it hasn't always been the case, they've been separate, but if they both sign this rental agreement and both know what's included therein, it seems to me, for the health, safety, and welfare of the other tenants, and I have here a petition with several hundred signatures of dwellers who would prefer to have our rules and regulations adhered to in the courts in which they live, and that there are a lot of people that don't take out their garbage regularly, or they have a menagerie next door, and things of this sort, which is injurious to the health of the neighboring dwellers, and they want them adhered to. And they've taken these to court, and each time, because of the word reasonable, it's cost the court owner a lot of money, and these are tenants that do not adhere to reasonable, and that's what they are rules and regulations, are still there and not evicted. And what's reasonable to one is not reasonable maybe to another. And these things end up in the court for a long period of time and cost a lot of money. And I think, as it is now, without the word reasonable, it's not too agreeable to either side. The legal services officer who stands up for the other side and people who make less than $4,000 a year, and the court owners. Neither one of them like it too much, but it's a little softening of the terminology, and they've all agreed to it, and I think that's enough.
Mr. President.
Senator Ray.
Parliamentary inquiry. Would you have him read the amendment again, please?
On page 1, line 10, delete the word "the" before the word "provision" and insert "reasonable." It would then read, "The mobile home dweller or tenant has violated reasonable provision of the rental agreement."
Senator Rohde.
Certainly I understand the concerns of my distinguished colleague from Eagle River. But under the existing statute, Mr. President, the mobile court owner can evict somebody by establishing a rule, for example, with regard to pets or anything else regarding the health or safety or the welfare of the tenants in that court. If there is some notice of that in a proper fashion to the tenants, they can then be evicted under the current statute. What would be prohibited might be evicting somebody because you didn't like the way they parted their hair, and using that as a reason, which I think most of us would agree is unreasonable. And that's what this act, without the word reasonable, and it would do, would allow unreasonable conduct. Mr. President, most people who are in the mobile courts are those people who are going to be at a severe disadvantage in terms of hiring an attorney. This isn't going to be an attorney's dream, because the people that live there are above the line where they can qualify for legal services, but certainly would have difficulty in hiring an attorney for prolonged litigation, which of course they really shouldn't have to do. 70% of the mobile court dwellers in Alaska are developing equity in their trailer so they can move into a single family home. They're upwardly mobile people that work hard, and I think they deserve at least some consideration from this legislature. And I would urge the Senate to support my amendment.
Mr. President.
Senator Ray was up
Excuse
first.
Mr. President, I understand what my colleague from Spinard is trying to do, but in the original language, it isn't a agreement between the lessor and the lessee. if they're talking about a reasonable rule or regulation that has been established by the operator. But when you get up to the language that's in the proposal now, it says has violated the provisions of the rental agreement or lease signed by both parties. And I would think that anybody that would sign it would consider that to be, all of the provisions to be reasonable or ones that they could accommodate, or they wouldn't sign the lease agreement. But by putting the word reasonable provisions, that does open the door for any dissatisfied person that's leasing property or leasing a mobile home or anything else from the original person to complain and have a basis for a lawsuit unfairly. I believe that the idea is commendable, but I don't think that it is proper to put it in that position.
Senator Jaluski.
Yes, Mr. President. I had originally been against the change in the legislation. I do support what's before us. I will vote against the putting back the reasonable. We really spent, I think, an unreasonable amount of time with this whole bill. There's a lot of testimony about going to court and having problems with trying to define reasonable. The bill, as the way it is now, calls for a bit for the buyer to be beware. In other words, they have to look and know what the terms of agreement are when they move into a court, and I do think that the protection is there. We were given assurances that simply because you delete a word that was formerly there, reasonable, doesn't mean that then the court all of a sudden will change their interpretation of what a reasonable standard is. I think putting it back in just raises that question again of going back to the courts and difficulty in the really sad cases of evicting people. There are some cases where the whole court is negatively affected and yet the landlords haven't been able to do anything. I think the wording you have in the committee substitute is excellent and addresses the problem for both sides.
Senator Rohde.
Mr. President, I always appreciate the instruction that my good senator from Juneau provides me on various legal topics. The state of the law presently is that when an unreasonable contract or a contract of adhesion is pressed upon somebody, the court will, as a rule, grant relief. And putting the word reasonable in the bill before us does no more than state the existing law of the land. Admittedly, Mr. President, there are more preferable ways of dealing with this problem, and I might add that that would be to defeat the bill in its third reading.
Senator Fahrenkamp.
Mr. President, without the word reasonable, I see no way I can support this. Those who have, if anyone's ever lived or is trying to move now into a trailer that they have bought into a trailer court, they should see some of the contracts. If they'd like to see one, I'll show them mine.
Senator Bradley.
Mr. President, some of those that disagree, I'd like for them to define the undefinable word reasonable. Now, we've worked at this for a long time. The legal services officer here locally and I came up with a page of things that were reasonable and about a half a page were unreasonable. It's an undefinable word and which should be left out.
Mr. President.
Senator Ray.
I'm always happy to assist in my legal determinations by my friend, and he has defeated his own purpose by saying that an unreasonable contract would not be upheld by the courts anyway, so why be redundant and put in the word reasonable?
Senator Rohde.
I'm always, of course, always pleased to receive the assistance of the good senator from Juneau, who practices more law on the floor of this body than either Senator Ziegler or myself. And I'd like to leave you with one of the admonitions that Senator Ray gave me many years ago, and one which I've found particularly appropriate to this bill, and it's that you don't scratch where you don't itch.
Are you ready for the amendment? I see no one asking for a roll call. Are you satisfied with a voice vote? You want a roll call? All those in favor of amendment, or the question is, shall amendment number 1 be adopted? Members may proceed to vote. Does any senator wish to change his or her vote? The secretary will take the vote.
The roll shows 3 ayes, 17 nays.
And so amendment number one has failed. Are there any further amendments?
There are no other amendments.
Senator Coletta.
Mr. President, I move and ask unanimous consent. The rule to be suspended the committee substitute for Senate Bill 42.
No objections.
Committee substitute for Senate Bill number 42, an act relating to the termination of rental agreements of mobile home park dwellers and tenants.
Question?
Question has been called for. The question is, shall committee substitute for Senate Bill 42 pass? The Senate members may proceed to vote. Does any senator wish to change his or her vote? Secretary will take the vote.
The roll shows 17 yeas, 3 nays.
And so committee substitute for Senate Bill 42 has passed the Senate.
Senate Bill number 358 by Senator Sackett, an act relating to the compensation of members of the Board of Fisheries and the Board of Game. The Finance Committee considered this bill and reports it back as follows. Senator Sackett, Chairman, and Senator Holman signed do pass. Senator Ray signed do not pass unless limiting amendment. Senators Curtula, Bennett, Hackney, and Sumner signed without recommendation. There is an amendment number one by Senator Ray. On page one, line 13, add a period after meetings and delete the rest of the sentence. Add new material. For other meetings or conferences authorized by a board, they shall receive $100 per day.
Senator Ray.
Mr. President, I would move the amendment. Mr. President, the reason for this is that I have a question in my mind whether they should even receive the $150 for days in meetings when other boards with this as much to talk about, probably have just as many other problems as the Fish and Game does, are getting less. If you've ever attended one of these board meetings or board hearings, it goes on and on and on, and because there's no fishing at that time of the year, and they have time to sit around and talk and discuss these matters at $150 a day. If that's the will of the body, that's all right, but for other meetings and conferences, seminars, I think that they should get a lesser amount of money, and that's what the amendment does.
Senator Sackett?
Ask unanimous consent.
Unanimous consent has been asked. Are there any objections? Hearing none, amendment number one is adopted.
There are no other amendments.
Senator Coletta.
Senate Bill number 358 amended, an act relating to the compensation of members of the Board of Fisheries and of the Board of Game.
The question has been called for. The question is, shall Senate Bill 358 amended pass? The Senate members may proceed to vote. Does any senator wish to change his or her vote? Secretary will take the vote.
The roll shows 19 yeas, 1 nay.
And so Senate Bill 358, as amended by the Senate, has passed the Senate.
Senate Bill number 512 by the Rules Committee, an act continuing the existence of the Alaska Transportation Commission and providing for an effective date. The Finance Committee considered this bill, and a majority of the committee reports it back without recommendation. Signed and do pass with Senator Hackney. Senator Holman, Chairman, and Senators Ray, Curtula, Vice Chairman, and Senators Ray, Curtula, and Bennett signed no recommendation. There are no amendments.
Senator Coletta.
Mr. President, I move and ask unanimous consent. The rule to be suspended in Senate Bill 912. Considering the votes advanced third reading, the place to final passage.
No objection.
Senate Bill Number 512, an act continuing the existence of the Alaska Transportation Commission and providing for an effective date.
Senator Coletta?
Mr. President, briefly, what the bill does, they're well aware that last year on the census provisions, the APC was addressed, and a version of compromise between both bodies was forwarded to the government. It turned out that the eventual outcome of that, by mutual consent, was for the governor to exercise his veto power on the bill, which he did do, thereby placing the APC in a new man's land. Without this, they would be sunset again because they have to be in existence. This merely
says
that.
Right here, a call for the question. The question is, shall Senate Bill 512 pass the Senate? Members may proceed to vote. Does any senator wish to change his or her vote? Secretary will take the vote.
The roll shows 18 yeas, 2 nays.
And so Senate Bill 512 has passed the Senate. Senator Coletta? Hearing no objection, the effective date closes, adopted.
Senate Committee substitute for.
You do a pretty good job yourself.
Senator, please come back to order. Madam Secretary, where are we?
We're on House bills in second reading, Mr. President. Senate Committee substitute for Committee substitute for House Bill Number 28. By the State Affairs Committee, an act providing for presidential party primary elections and providing for an effective date. This bill failed last year, was reconsidered. Reconsideration was taken up and returned to finance. Finance offered a second committee substitute, and a majority do pass. Signed, Senator Sackett, Chairman, concurring Senators Holman, Ray, Hackney, and Sumner. Senator Bennett and Senator Dank were signed without recommendation. The Rules Committee considered this bill and reports it back as follows. Senator Coletta, Chairman, and Senator Tillian and Sumner signed to calendar. Senator Ziegler signed do not calendar and do not pass. There is a committee substitute.
Senator Coletta.
Mr. President, I move for adoption of the second Senate committee substitute finance.
I object, Mr. President. Do we stand at
ease? Please come back to order. Hear no objection. House Bill 28 will be held one legislative day.
Senate Joint Resolution Number 54 by the State Affairs Committee relating to marine sanitation requirements imposed by the U.S. Coast Guard regulations. The Health, Education, and Social Services Committee considered this resolution and recommends do pass. Signed, Senator Hackney, Chairman, concurring Senator Coletta and Senator Fahrenkamp. There are no amendments.
Senator Coletta.
Mr. President, I move
an unanimous
consent
that
rules
be
suspended from Senate Joint Resolution 54 be considered
in those advance to the reading of the final passage. Objection. There is one.
Oh, Senate Joint Resolution Number 54 relating to marine sanitation requirements imposed by U.S. Coast Guard regulations.
Senator Mulcahy, you wish the floor.
Mr. President, I'd just like to point out to the body that this is one of those federal regulations that is very well applied to areas outside that work a very hard, very big hardship on our small boaters in the state of Alaska. That since 1975, all new boats or large boats, it's required that this these sanitation facilities be built into them so that all boats coming into the fleet have it. It's also my understanding that on existing, particularly large boats, those over 65 feet, if they're doing any major repair, they have repairs to these facilities, they have to include this in it. But the way the regulations read now, that not only all the new vessels, but all the existing vessels built before 1975 would fall under this federal regulation. And I think that it works a real hardship on our small boat fleet in Alaska, and would urge the passage of this regulation.
And this resolution.
Question has been called for. The question is, shall Senate Joint Resolution 54 pass? The Senate members may proceed to vote. Does any senator wish to change his or her vote? Secretary will take the vote.
The roll shows 20 yeas.
And so Senate Joint Resolution 54 has passed the Senate. That brings us to the bottom of today's calendar. Senate stands at ease. Back to order under unfinished business. Did you wish the floor, Senator Coletta?
Mr. President, would appreciate very much if we as members of the Senate Planning Committee can be asked in the year of the Friday night would stop by the office so that we can get a head count and make arrangements.
Thank you, sir. Senator Bennett.
Thank you, Mr. President. I request that I be excused from the call of the Senate on April 8th, 9th, and 10th for constituent business.
The journal will so reflect. Senator Ferguson.
Mr. President, I request and ask unanimous consent that Senate Bill number 261 be waived by the Labor and Management Committee. This bill deals with NAC relating to physical therapists. It was introduced last year, I believe April 4th, 1979. Senator Hackney has had considerable hearings on this, and I'd so move.
Hearing no objection, rule. Senator Sackett.
I'd like to move and ask unanimous consent that I be excused from a call to the Senate on April 10th and 11th for personal reasons.
General, will so reflect. Special orders. Does anybody have anything on the special orders? Senator Curtula.
President, I move and ask unanimous consent for a brief comment on the special orders.
You have the floor, sir.
Mr. President. Not usual to speak on a bill before it's on the calendar. It's calendar for tomorrow, the presidential preference primary. Occurred to me, however, that when we think about this legislation for tomorrow's calendar, that Senator Stevens, I believe, had a very good idea. This bill isn't worth the paper it's written on to Alaska if we go it alone. Maybe we ought to think about all of us getting together before tomorrow and coming up with a in-house lobby, at least, so that several of the western states, the far west, have a primary in the same time frame. Then you will attract presidential candidates and you will have some input. As you know, he made the statement that two or three of the smaller states, I won't mention by names, in the eastern part of the United States have an awful lot to do with selection because of the publicity, media, and so on of our presidential candidates. That if a number of western states in the far corner of the west had equal opportunity in the same time frame, we'd be doing something. So again, maybe if we pass this bill, we ought to work on a lobby over the next two or three years, at least a letter writing campaign from the legislature to other legislators and so on, expressing the same desire. I think it was a very good idea, and one that might make this presidential primary worth something.
Senator Ray?
Privilege of the floor to speak on the same subject, Mr. President.
Without objection, you have the privilege of the floor.
Oh, Mr. President, this act doesn't take place till 1984, and possibly it is the intent of the sponsors and the supporters of this bill to go ahead and vote it in to show the rest of the states that Alaska is willing to take a step forward. And if they do not come along with us, we can always repeal it in 1983.
Senator Homan, you wish the floor?
Yes, Mr. President, your special orders. Make a few comments on the Free Conference Committee work on Senate Bill 161.
Senator Homan, you have the floor.
Mr. President, I was absent from the floor yesterday when the resignation letter was announced, or when the dissolution of the committee was announced, but so I'm rising today to make a few comments. It was a pleasure to work with the committee. I think the three Senate conferees worked very hard, as did the House conferees, and it was a good congenial atmosphere. We were looking for compromise. The House side was looking for capitulation, acquiescence to their particular concept. Our position was complicated immensely by some of your remarks to the press and in the halls, indicating that we should do exactly that, capitulate. But be that as it may, it was there. That's past. The whole subject of the permanent fund has been discussed over the years, and there were indications that Homan was going to stonewall. You know, those charges have been made, and that there were some personality things there that sort of complicated the issue. But now, with the resignation of the committee, those kinds of obstacles have been removed. And I think that the legislature, this body certainly, the new conferees, can take a fresh look at the provisions that we'd almost adopted as a free conference committee, utilizing as a backdrop some of the expressions of the public that we saw in testimony before the committee or in public opinion surveys over the years, the most recent of which was conducted in January and made available to the body. Or we can look at the expressions of the consultants. During the last week, the House scheduled several consultants before the Free Conference Committee, and we sort of got a real brief view of the analysis of the bill from their standpoints. And there was nothing. They did no violence at all to the Senate concept, both for the management concept or the loan program that was envisioned. I think if we do review the public expressions, we find out that the provisions in that bill do not address the needs that the public have expressed time and time again. The public did not envision, when the permanent fund constitutional amendment was voted on, the lockup of this capital, or as I've referred to it on the floor before, the Great Alaska Capital Export Company. Our capital under the provisions of that bill is going to go outside by and large. What they voted for, I'm convinced, and we all speculate on this. As a matter of fact, we had some of the consultants last week presenting dictionary definitions of permanent and things like that. That was very interesting, but I don't think that the public looked at their particular interpretation of permanent, of locking up that capital, not making it available to the maximum extent possible for Alaskan development, for Alaskans. What they voted for, I believe, is setting aside of a certain amount of the dollars that flowed to the state from the non-renewable resource revenues, protecting it from operational costs of government. The provisions, to say it again, in what we almost adopted, are inadequate insofar as the public are concerned. The authorized investment section of that bill should be extensively reviewed by the new Free Conference Committee team. Thank you.
Anything else on the special orders? Announcement of committee meeting. Senator Sturgiluski?
Yes, today at 1:30 in the Butterfitch Room. I won't read the details, but committee substitute for SB 370, 309, 348, 350, 492. Tomorrow, Wednesday, 1:30 in the Bells Room, carryover if necessary on 348, 350, and 492. Thursday, SB 408, HJR 62, and SB 389.
Any further committee announcements? Senator Sackett?
Mr. President, finance tomorrow at 8:30, and just for the information of the body, yesterday afternoon or late afternoon, the supplemental operating capital bill came over from the House, and I see it's now printed. However, as of 6 o'clock last night when I left, it had not yet been printed. There was still a work draft copy. And so we've got basically Wednesday, Thursday, and since we're leaving, or the majority of people are leaving on Friday, then we have Monday. So I'd anticipate by Monday you might see some action, just for your information, so that there isn't any yelling or screaming that we aren't taking any action.
Thank you, sir. Are there any other committee announcements? The Free Conference Committee on 122 will be meeting at 3 this afternoon in the Governor's Conference Room. Senator Coletta.
Mr. President, I move
that stands at adjournment.